Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Cavs win Tuesday. That's not great branding. It's not alliterative. It's nothing, you know. It's just literally the thing that happened last night. But we have a lot to get into with Game 2 of the Cavs Magic Series last night. The Cavs coming up with a big win. We've got Kayla Cole-John on the board. We've got the assassin behind the glassy knoll, Keith Britton, just waiting to take a shot at either one of us. We got Katie Pollack on the 2020s. But Dustin Fox, I say a good day to you, sir.
Good day, sir.
You feeling it? I'm feeling it.
It's like a scene out of The Office.
Oh, I was thinking.
Oh, good day, sir.
I was thinking, good day to you, sir. But in a positive way. Oh. For those of you who watched That 70s Show back in the day, Fez would end the conversation with, I say good day. This is me saying, I say good day, but in a good way. And that rhymed, and that's going to be in the next open. Damn it. I was vibing until that moment.
Listen, as I get older, I get colder.
That's true. And we get antsy in our pantsy with Kevin Stefanski. Everybody's been saying that for a while now.
That's what the kids say.
So you were at the Cavs game last night. You like what you see?
Do I like what I see? Yes, I like what I see. I loved everything about last night from start to finish. Well, maybe not the finish because, you had a pretty big lead there, 20 points that evaporated a little quickly there in the final couple of minutes. But anyway, didn't matter. Cavs still cover. And dominate. Being there, it was amazing. We're going to talk more about the atmosphere and stuff as we go throughout the show, but I thought it was absolutely outstanding theater. The fans were into it. The Magic had no answers. We are in the Magic's head right now.
You're in the Wagner's head.
The Wagner's.
Both of them.
I can't imagine they'll ever return to Cleveland or, frankly, the state of Ohio.
Are we going to get a Joakim Noah comment by them about who vacations in Cleveland? Have we gotten in their cage so much? Like, here's the thing. Franz Wagner really hasn't done anything wrong other than be Mo Wagner's brother. And the residual hate that Franz is getting because Mo is a chotch is funny as hell to me. Like, the fact that people hate Mo Wagner, his cheap ass, so much that they're like, we got to boo his little brother, too, is just, honestly, it's funny as hell to me. It might actually be my favorite thing in the series, other than the Cavs winning this game, is people just being like, I have so much hate, one Wagner doesn't do it for me. Man, I got to double up on the Wagner hate just to get it all out there.
It's so great that at the arena, they've got the jumbo humongotron thing. Yeah. And every time, like, Wagner had a foul, they got a camera in his face.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not, like, in his face. It's up close and personal. And you could just see he was almost trembling.
Yeah.
And so frustrated. And almost, I don't think he was scared, but maybe a little scared, like, intimidated, you know?
Yeah.
Because the environment was so loud, and they were, I mean, dude, I know there are a lot of kids at the game. Dude, everyone was MFing this guy. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty good.
So, what's interesting about the Wagner thing is, so I think it's equal parts. He thinks he's being held back by officials, and I actually think he's being enabled by officials. Mm-hmm. Like the foul that he fouled out on Darius, which was basically a blocking foul, if my memory serves me correct. Like, he was dead in the wrong. And so I think he's getting away in this series more than anyone is. And I think that empowered what he did late in that game, where he posterized Jared Allen and then came down with a big play on the very next play. Like, I think the refs in some way have enabled him with what they've allowed him to get away with. And I don't think the Cavs are getting away with that kind of stuff. That's not,
yeah.
And listen, that's not the decide. I have a whole different theory on that we'll get to later in the show. But speaking of, I have a theory in Anthony Lima, why is anyone trying to say this series is over?
Well, I am.
Why? What, like, why do you think two games in that this thing is over?
You may have another 2 months left.
Well, I think that it's over because the Magic stink.
Yeah, that might be fair. But I think if we put it all in the Magic, I think we're missing the point. One, you never really know how a series is going to go until the home team goes out on the road. And I know that the actual cliche is it's not a series until the home team loses.
Correct.
But, like, I'll be honest with you. This whole series is proof of concept to me. The whole thing, from start to finish. So, theoretically, the Cavs are halfway on their way to a sweep. It is fine if right now you think the Magic aren't going to win a game. I totally understand why you might think that. We haven't seen, because remember, the cliche is your role players ball out at home and they disappear on the road. The margins are, despite the fact that you've won by double digits both times, the margin in these games is really not that significant, because the Magic, with a bad offense, were able to get it down to 4 in that first game in the third quarter. And then this game, in the fourth quarter, they were able to get it done. To get it down within double digits despite being down over 20. And they're able to do that with about a minute of clock time. And that's on the road where, as you pointed out, I think the Magic are incredibly intimidated at home. None of this is to say the Cavs haven't done their job. This is not bleep on the Cavs. The Cavs have done everything they needed to do. But, like, this Cavs hubris, or maybe it's just a complete lack of respect for the Magic, both of which I understand. I don't know I can share in that until I see the Cavs consistently do what they did at home these first two games on the road. And I think there's a chance, by the way, just with me saying that, I think there's a chance that the Magic are done. I think you saw after the Suggs injury, they were out of it for half of that game. So, like, I think there's a chance that you go out on the road and they don't put even a fight at home. There's a chance. I'm not betting on that yet. This series, to me, if the only thing you're doing is judging this series by what the Magic can't do, we're not looking at it through proper eyes. Mm. And I think to write off the Magic in any sense, knowing with what the Cavs' big problems were in the regular season, I think we'd be, because here's the thing, I want to let the series play out. I want to see what they do on the road. If they drop one on the road, or God forbid they drop two on the road, I want to see how they come back. Like, I can't give the Cavs a grade on this series until the thing is actually over.
Listen, I feel you, man. Last night was the first time I saw the Magic in person against the Cavaliers. Nick, they don't have any guy. I mean, they've got Paolo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a really good player. But he's certainly not to the point of his career where he can carry a basketball team.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a really good player in this league. I think he already is a really good player in this league. But that team, they don't have any outside shooting. I know they made a couple of threes there last night in the second half. But, dude, unless there's a miracle, the series is over.
I can't say. I'll be with you after I see what happens in game 3. I'm not trying. My thing is,
I mean, it's like they're not going to Golden State this week. I mean, they're going to Orlando.
My thing is, so usually when we do the Cavs are up 2-0, the series is over. Some of that is,
I don't know how any Magic fans think that they have a chance. Like, I can imagine if the Cavs on Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night, if the Cavs get off to a good start and smack them in the face, that arena is going to be dead. Mm-hmm. They're going to think they have no chance, and then the series is going to be a sweep.
I think there's a really decent chance that you're right on that. I also need to see it happen. I think trying to... Because here's the thing. I think we still have seen moments where the Cavs aren't the Cavs. The thing that stalled the team at the beginning of the first half in game one is not the same thing as what stalled them at the end of the game last night. You know what the difference is? So, like, energy-wise, they didn't come out right in game three.
Mm-hmm.
That was a problem all year. In game two, in the fourth quarter, Darius Garland was on one. They brought Donovan back into the game, and Darius disappeared. That's a real thing. And that's something that I think, because, again, you've got some good moments. Strus has been phenomenal in his role. I actually think, even though his offense hasn't been good, Yang's given you really good defense at parts in this series. It's going to be more on Jarrett. It's going to be more on Donovan. It's going to be more on Darius and Evan when they go to Orlando. I'm confident that they can go through here. I'm confident that they can finish off in a sweep or a five-game series. I am confident that that's going to happen. And a lot of the confidence is the fact that the Magic aren't that good. The thing holding me back from saying, bleep it, it's over, let's start scouting Boston every night, is it's the Cavs. I'm confident the Cavs are going to win because the Magic are not a playoff. They're not a top six team in the East. I don't want to say they're not a playoff team. The Magic offensively would be lucky to be a play-in team if like, they had like the 15th best defense in the NBA instead of a top 10 defense.
Yeah, they play good defense.
They do. They really do.
They're long. They get in your face. They slow the game down. They kind of muck it up. But when their offense can't score, that's a problem.
And I think that might be aiding some of the like Darius's struggles. He's trying to adapt to what you're seeing with being held on every play and some of the length and what they're doing at him. Although he did have, and I just want to give credit because we've had our Darius thoughts. Everybody on the station has. Those shots that he hit late in that game where he elevated the Cavs was...
They were huge. How many did he hit there? And was it the third and fourth quarter?
I think like he hit two threes and then there was a field goal.
Okay.
Wasn't there a floater at the end and then they called the timeout and Donovan... You saw Donovan.
And how about the hustle play too?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I really like what I saw in those moments from Darius. But the thing holding me back is... I cannot give you the complete and total flowers for doing this. I can't credit you with a sweep or a gentleman's sweep until I see it play out. You passed every test those first two games, but to act as if there's no more tests or as if Orlando itself, maybe they can't get some home cooking off the bench, that maybe all of a sudden Franz Wagner, a couple of those three-pointers, like they shot 25% last night from three, the Magic did. If they get to 30 to 33% with everything else they're doing, game three will be a real game. Game three will not be a 10-point decision. Now, that's a big ask, but Franz could get hot in front of the home crowd. Paolo could get hot in front of the home crowd. Mo Wagner and the Wagnerettes, all the Wagners, Mama Wagner, who apparently was in Cleveland. I heard about that from a few people that they actually met her and she's apparently like 6 foot tall, but also incredibly nice. I don't know why I said also, like you can be really tall and also nice. Why am I saying
we also don't know that they're like not nice guys. They're just kind of like
they're chaches for us.
They're chaches
for us.
Yeah.
If
they're probably sweethearts.
If Mo Wagner played here, we'd build him a statue. If Mo Wagner played here, you know who he'd be? He'd be Anderson Varejao. A guy that drives you nuts when he's on somebody else's team, but you love him. He's deadly. When he does all that stuff for you, you're like, that's my dude right there. Before we get to Fedor here in about 20 minutes, so it's not that I don't think the Cavs are going to win the series. It's that I don't think right now it's – and listen, I will be honest with you. I think it's the longest of long shots that the Magic are actually going to come back and win the series and make it a true series. But
wait a second. So you said the longest of long shots.
Yeah, that they would win the series.
Okay.
But I think they could extend the series.
Okay, but what's the difference between them extending the series as opposed to the Cavs or us saying the series is over?
I would say the health of the Cavs and how we feel about the Cavs going into the next round. Like it almost feels like this is a trap situation, and it's not literally, but it's I'm using the phrase.
I don't want to jam you up here too much, there,
please
Nicholas.
Please do.
But I do recall, and Keith, you can back me up on this if you'd like to, Mr. Assassin.
Jam away.
I'm gonna jam away.
Okay.
You ready to be jammed?
I'm ready and willing.
Okay. It's always a pleasure to be in Dustin's bedroom.
Thank you, Doug. So, pretty sure you said it's more beneficial the way to say it.
I don't know. It's how you're.
You
saying
wanted
it.
This series to go 7 games.
Thank you, Keith.
Yes. No. And actually,
this was one
you said it would help.
Questionable takes of the week last week.
I said I could see the value in an extended series versus a short series because
you're the only one.
Well, okay. My point was after, game one on Saturday, and actually I made this point yesterday. Thank you both for listening. I said I can see now that Donovan looks to be 100% and Evan is giving you what I think we all hoped Evan would give you.
Play more minutes, right? That's what you want him.
Well, no. The point was I said I came around to the idea after game one because of how it came down that I actually could see, like, okay, let's just get out of the series. And here's the other part about I also thought the Magic would be more of a worthy adversary.
So you flip-flopped.
No, I changed my opinion based off of seeing...
Flip-flop.
Flip-flopping is if in the same show, you change your take because you got crap from somebody else.
So one game was all it took then.
No, that's called new information. You actually can change your opinion based off new information. Isn't that like the whole point? Or do I have to stick to every take I've ever had because I used to have
the
take?
A flip-flop.
In what way?
This is an interesting tone Nick's giving us right now.
In what way? Okay, Dr. Phil. What's interesting about this one?
It seems to be a little.
I've defended the flip. No, this is not a flip flop. No, a flip flop is.
I think the Assassin's digging into you a little bit there.
Well, yeah, because your team jam them up. So you're already.
I am.
You know what? Thank you for admitting that.
I'm team jammer.
Yeah. We don't do enough of admitting when the shenanigans are abound, and that was really good of you to at least acknowledge that. So getting back to it, no. No, that's not a flip-flop. A flip-flop is in the same show or in between games.
Well, but I don't understand, like, before the series, if you said that, I can see there's a benefit in going 7 games because you want them to be playing. First of all, I don't get that you can create momentum by losing games. But the fact is that all it did was they had to play one good game, and you're like, okay, now it makes sense for them to play less minutes.
So I saw the benefit before game one of a team being tested. Meaning, like, really tested. I do think...
You're going to get that in the second round regardless, though.
Well, no, but the point is, I don't want that to be the first time you're tested. After the first 2 games, I no longer... I don't know that Orlando can. I'm leaving open the possibility, because I think way too many people are like, all right, that's enough of this series. We'll talk to you in Boston. But, like, specifically to my thoughts beforehand, I thought Orlando would give you more of a run. They really haven't. Last night in the fourth quarter, I thought it was the Cavs who kind of clenched, and I thought it was the Cavs that kind of let the Magic back in the game,
I would like to see the Cavs, when they get those leads, not let them back in it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Push it out. Push out the lead the way Boston typically does.
Well, and I got to be honest with you. So I don't know that this isn't a criticism. I just thought it was really wild how Darius was really on one last night. And he hit those two big threes. He had the next big point. He was going all out. It was as confident as we've seen him play. And the second Donovan came in, I don't know where Darius went. That's not a criticism of Darius, by the way. I just think you had a hot hand in Darius. Why didn't you keep going to that hot hand? Like, I thought that was a moment where you're pulling away with the game. And I know Donovan wanted back in. And I think there's a part of me that thinks Donovan sat back in the second half and let everybody cook. To build some confidence, but like I would have preferred.
I needed him back in too because I had a little prop on his points, assists, and rebounds.
Well, see, I was pure. I did not go Jonte Porter on last night's game. I did not have any action on it.
I'm not in the league.
Yet. You're still a young man. Except
I'm trying
for when
to
you
join
golf.
the ATP.
the senior circuit. That's basically the big three now. But no, I mean I would have put off putting Donovan back in that game even more. Because one, Donovan came in and was cold as hell.
Well, that's what killed him, is them blowing that lead forced him to put Donovan back in the game, I think.
Oh, I think if you look back, I think Donovan came back in the game.
You think he told him he wanted to come back in the game?
I don't know
about
that.
I think they needed him back in the game.
I think they put him back in the game when they were still ahead by a considerable amount.
I believe they put him back when they were up 14.
After the timeout is when he went back in.
Mm-hmm.
After the big plays by Darius is when the great... indelible image of him chest bumping Darius and saying, that's what you bleep and do. Like, I think it was right after that timeout that Donovan was back in the game. I could be wrong. No, that's how I remember
right,
last night.
It was right about 4 minutes and change to go but in the ball game.
But like overall.
Trust me, I remember.
I think, because here's the thing. I think part of this is just the idea of, well, the series is over. That means the Cavs can't let it slip away. And for a team, and I said this going into last night, for a team that's biggest problem has been consistency amongst everything, I still want to see it. I'm more confident now than I've ever been that this that they can make short work of the Magic. You got to go down to Orlando. And this team, I mean, I've talked a lot about the parallels between the Browns this last year and this Cavs team. The Cavs team really likes home cooking, and they don't love road cooking. I don't know. They don't love room service cooking. I don't think it's as cut and dry as the Browns were. But, like, I think you have an advantage that you're going to Orlando, where I think that town is the family that owns that team has sucked the will out of those fans. I mean, right now they're where the Cavs were with LeBron year one with LeBron or year two with LeBron, where people believed in the player in Paolo, but they still think that those owners are trash given what's happened. So I don't think you're going to get an awful like reaction. I don't expect the Orlando Magic faithful to make it uncomfortable the way the Cavs have clearly made it. Our Cavs fans have made it uncomfortable for the Magic. I think it's not an I know. So it's not like you're going to play in the Garden. It's not like you're going to play in Philly. It's not like you're going to play in Boston or even the Lakers when the Lakers are hot. Like
they're going to the Amway.
This is as timid of a crowd as I think you're going to get in the NBA playoffs. The Cavs though respond to home cooking. And so now it is, all right, you were consistent at home. Let me see that consistency. Because now I feel like the expectation is if this thing goes longer than five, it's because the Cavs let it happen. And it might even feel that way about four games. I just want to give them that extra cushion of a game because you just never know in game threes. This is probably going to be the Magic, their best effort you're probably going to see on Thursday.
Without question will be their best effort. And if they can't get it done, they'll give up. They'll give up, and the Cavs will, again, and assuming the Cavs, you know, don't put down their guard in game four, it's a sweep. I'm to the point now where I would be very surprised if the Cavs do not sweep this series. Have not looked ahead to the line on game three. Have you, Nick?
I have not.
But I'm going to give it to you. You know why?
I said.
Because I want to know what it is.
Okay.
Cavaliers are 1.5-point dogs on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that a fool's bet? Is that a sucker's bet? Or is that...
No, that's typically... I mean, I think had the Magic been more competitive here in Cleveland, I honestly think they'd probably be favored by about three.
I just want to see it. Here's the thing. I am confident that this thing is rolling out the way the Cavs hoped when the Cavs tanked that game against Charlotte. And I think people have used that as a way to say, see, they did it. Like, honestly, guys, they should have been able to beat the Pacers, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watched Philadelphia, Philadelphia is down 0-2 to the Knicks. So you should have been able to be competitive about against anybody you would have played in a first-round series.
Just, you know, how much did you see that game last night? The latter game.
Oh, you mean the Lakers game? Or the,
no, I'm sorry. The Sixers-Knicks game, because I was listening to it. Leaving the Cavs game, I popped it on the Sirius deal. And was listening to it, and the Knicks scored the final 8 points of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sixers were up five with a minute to go. How do you blow that?
Some people say
officiating. I don't think it was all officiating.
I think Maxey made a mistake on the inbound pass,
for sure,
which turned the ball over. I think, here's the thing, there's three ways that they could have salvaged that moment that start with Maxey not fumbling the pass and kicking it up in the air. That then go to getting the offensive rebound, that then go to getting the defensive rebound, and then.
Sorry about that, Nick.
No worries.
Just hit my hand.
That then go to Nick Nurse actually getting the timeout. Any one of those three things stop that play, and the Sixers win that. But my greater point is, you look at this game like, all right, you've passed the test these first two games, but I still don't know that, like. The first round series, you're always hoping, like, all right, can I start to glean some of this for the next round? And I don't think I've learned much about the Cavs other than they've shown up and done what they're supposed to do, which should be like that's you should get merit for that. Like, you should get credit for showing up and doing what you're supposed to do.
I'm giving them tons of credit. I'm giving JB tons of credit. I think this team is doing exactly what they have to do to win these last two games. I think they're playing tough. I think there's an attitude. I love the way that the crowd was into it last night. I wasn't at game one, just game two. I think this thing is going to be wrapped up rather quickly, and we're going to shift our focus to Boston, and that's going to be one hell of a series.
So you disagree with Jonathan Peterlin then?
I got a lot to say about that.
All right. So we are going to play
that. I'll give you a tease. How about this?
All right.
So I'm driving home last night. Are we doing this next segment?
No, we got Fedor next.
Say, we'll do this later, but I'll give you a tease now.
Okay.
I'm upset with Peterlin.
Ooh, and they pushed the mic away. All right, 216-474-0092. As we talk about the...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Was that Keith? That's really good. Keith just punched the mic. He also deafened me, but Keith punched the mic.
What was the purpose
mic.
Of that? Was that an accident?
I think he was making fun of
you. I was
you
trying to do a sound effect. You, yeah. Push, you got to give him some effect there when you push that mic away.
Okay.
Did it do that time?
I'm already a little deaf because of working in radio for 20 years and having headphones on constantly. Can we stop punching the damn mic so I can hear for the rest of my career?
I think I'm deaf from going to the Cavs game last night.
Well, don't tell Jonathan
Peterlin. I'm not going to tell JP.
We will get to that later in the show. Cavs got the win last night, and everybody is saying the series is over to talk about the series, to talk about his thoughts on the Cavs going forward. The job that JB is doing opposite of Jamal Mosley of the Magic. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. A welcome on of Cleveland.com, the plane dealer, Chris Fedor. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Oh, just enjoying some playoff basketball. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been a good environment inside Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. I'm really curious to see how it's going to be in Orlando, their first playoff game in that city in about 4 years. So I'm curious to see what the environment's going to be like there.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Dustin. How's it going?
It's so funny, man. I haven't seen you in a while, but I was in Houston at the Rockets-Cavs game, and yeah. I was spying. I feel like a voyeur. Because last night I was spying on you as well. I was seated right above you, and I'm like, oh, there's Fedor.
Well, you should have said something. You should have
well,
I
was probably not within
you at halftime or something.
I would have had to yell at you. I wasn't going to be obnoxious like that. But hey, look, back to your thought there about the atmosphere. I mean, yeah. I was there, and I thought it was one of the better atmospheres for a playoff game in Cavs, at least in a Cavs game, at a Cavs game that I've been to. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to spit this out here, Nick.
You got to land laughing. The plane, I believe you.
Did I land the plane?
I wasn't laughing. Jesus, you're sensitive.
Sorry,
I was.
Oh, Keith the assassin jumps in. Chris, your thoughts on the atmosphere again.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really, really good. The one thing that you can say about Cleveland, even if, you know, the fan base gets pretty riled up throughout the course of the regular season and isn't happy with the way that the team is performing and doesn't feel like there's a lot to believe in or a lot to be hopeful for, Cleveland shows up when it comes to big moments. Cleveland shows up when it comes to big events. Cleveland shows up when it comes to playoff basketball, and they understand the value of creating a true home court advantage. And I also think the fans understood coming into this series that the Magic are a young, inexperienced playoff team. So let's put them in a hostile environment and see if we can really, really add something to this series. And I do believe that the Cavs have. I mean, early on in the series, it looked like Orlando was rattled. They were caught off guard by the environment. They were caught off guard by the physicality of this series. And I give the fans a lot of credit for the way that they, so far since this series started, embraced this team and embraced their role in creating a true home court advantage.
Chris, is this series effectively over?
Yeah, I think so, just because at the very beginning of this, I picked the Cavs to win it, and I haven't seen anything throughout the first two games that would make me change that opinion. I think from the very, very beginning, it looked like a team in Orlando that had more exploitable weaknesses. And I just don't know that they have enough pathways to success, especially on the offensive end of the floor, against this particular Cavs team. And to me, the playoffs are so much about matchups, guys. The playoffs are so much about exploiting weaknesses and finding flaws and seeing if you can expose them. If the Cavs would have played against the Brooklyn Nets last year in the playoffs, we don't have the same conversations that we did leaving the Knicks series. But the Knicks were a terrible matchup for the Cavs for a variety of reasons. And it played itself out over five non-competitive games. Coming into this series, the Cavs were a terrible matchup for the Magic, because the only thing that the Magic do consistently well on the offensive end of the floor is what the Cavs are built to take away. The Magic want to get into the paint. They want to score at the rim. They want to get to the free throw line. Well, the Cavs don't foul. They've got two elite rim protectors in Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. And their defense as a whole is built to take away the paint and force teams into tough contested twos or outside shots. The Magic are the worst three-point shooting team in the entire NBA. That's played itself out in the first two games. The Magic have the worst offense of any team that made it to the playoffs. That's played itself out. And against this particular opponent that is built to take away the strength of the Magic offense, if you even want to call it a strength, I just don't know that they have another pathway to success.
So late in the game, Chris, it was a 20-point margin or close to that at some point, and the Magic get back into it. Is that something that concerns you or should concern us, I guess, as Cavs fans, that the Magic were able to get back in that game and the Cavs had that lull?
I'll put it this way, guys. There is nothing that I've seen in the first two games of this series that I would be overly concerned about when it comes to the Cavs' ability to win this series. But are there things that they could be better at? Of course, absolutely. Has it been the best performance through the first two games for the Cavs, the kind of performance that would allow them to be competitive with Boston? No, it hasn't, but it's been good enough against this particular opponent. They haven't trailed at all, not even for a second. The game has been tied once in the first two games for 16 total seconds. The Magic have a ghastly 84 offensive rating, which is one of the worst in the last 15 years. In this era of pace and space, three-point shooting, and scoring 100 points and making that look easy, the Magic can't even get to 90. So there are so many things that the Cavs have done in the first two games that are good, but that doesn't mean that there aren't things that they can work on, that things they have to fix going into game three when the series shifts. And Orlando is one of the best home teams in the entire NBA. They went 29-12 at Kia Center. So they're going to be a different team, and the Cavs are going to have to clean up the mistakes from the fourth quarter. They're leading the playoffs in turnovers. That's not good enough, right? Their offense hasn't cracked 100 points yet in the first two games. That's not good enough. They're not making threes the way that they did during the regular season. Max Strus, George Niang are a combined 2 of 18 from three-point range. The Cavs as a whole are bottom five in the playoffs in terms of three-pointers. So there are definitely things that they need to get better at moving forward, especially if we're talking about big picture trying to be competitive in the next round.
Chris Fedor on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The Cavs have the 2-0 series lead. Does that mean J.B. Bickerstaff is out-coaching Jamal Mosley after two games?
I think it depends on how you want to look at it. I feel very similar to what JB ran into when it came to the Knicks series. And in that Knicks series, I think it was fair to say that JB got out-coached, the Cavs got outplayed, they got out-tough, they got out-physicaled, finding out, and they had some word attached to it. But, like, it got to a point in that series where I was trying to drive home a point of this is a playoff chess match, right? And if you're playing chess, you have to have these movable pieces, and these pieces have to be able to move in different directions. But if you were J.B. Bickerstaff last year against the Knicks and what you had were effective pawns, you didn't have bishops, you didn't have knights, you didn't have queens, you had pawns that all moved the same way, like, what were you supposed to do? You just didn't have the pieces. And I feel the same when it comes to Jamal Mosley. I don't know that he has a workable five-man lineup that can give him enough offense and defense. If Jalen Suggs is not healthy and effective, they do not have a playable point guard. Cole Anthony is food on the defensive end floor for the Cavs. Same with Markel Fultz. Jonathan Isaac started the first two games of the series. He is now looking like he's unplayable. Jared Allen has pulverized him. He played 6 minutes in the second half because Jamal Mosley felt like he had to go to Mo Wagner. Like, if that's your solution, that's not a great solution, right? So I think Jamal Mosley is kind of in a situation where he's trying to pick the best of bad options with a flawed roster in this particular matchup, and that's the situation that JB was in last year against the Knicks. So I do think if you're going to say that Tom Thibodeau outcoached JB last year in that series, I do think you have to say that JB has outcoached Jamal Mosley. At the same time, like, he has better solutions for the things that the Magic are trying to do against the Cavs than Mosley has when it comes to what the Cavs are doing against his team.
Chris, is Jared Allen making that leap? I mean, he's been really, really good the last couple of games, certainly last night as well. I mean, especially all those rebounds. Helped on the prop bets, by the way. No, I'm not Jonte. No, but in all seriousness, I mean, he's playing great right now.
He was an all-star a couple of years ago. And this year during the regular season, guys, he played as one of the best centers in the Eastern Conference. There was a legitimate argument that he could have been an all-star this year. I put him on my all-defensive team, to be perfectly honest with you. I had a vote for end-of-season awards, and I put Jarrett as second-team all-defense because of what he means to the Cavs on a possession-to-possession basis on that end of the floor. Combine that with his dominance offensively that we've seen in the series, and he is doing to a lesser opponent, to a physically overmatched opponent, what he should be doing. And he deserves a ton of credit for it. He's been an animal on the boards. He's been great on the offensive end, very efficient on the offensive end. Doesn't look like the game is moving too fast for him. Doesn't look like he's being overwhelmed by the physicality. Isn't looking toward the officials for any kind of calls or anything along those lines. It's very different than the Jarrett that we saw last year in the playoffs against the Knicks. It helps that he's not playing against the Knicks. There is no Mitchell Robinson out there, right? There is no Julius Randle, no Isaiah Hartenstein. So I think part of this is predicated on the opponent that the Cavs are playing. But at the same time, Jared is doing what he's supposed to do in this series. And for a majority of the season, this is the guy that he has been. He has been one of the most important players on this roster, and he's playing to that level. And I do think he is a better player this year than he was last year. I do think that he is a more well-rounded player on the offensive end of the floor. I do think he is stronger, more physical, and understands better what playoff-level physicality is. And I think all of those things combined have led to Jarrett being a dominant force in this series.
Chris, we got about 30 seconds, buddy. Rich Paul and Dan Gilbert talking courtside after the game. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Little deal. I mean, anytime it's Dan Gilbert talking with Rich Paul and trying to mend that relationship, enhance that relationship, however you want to phrase it, of course it's something that you're going to look at. But Rich Paul was, you know, he's been at games in the past and he's had conversations with Dan. So it's not a situation where I think you go overboard and start to say, well, this means that Bronny is going to be drafted by the Cavs, or LeBron James is coming back to Cleveland, or connect all those dots. Rich Paul represents one of the most important players in this organization, the highest paid player in this organization in Darius Garland. He also represents Tristan Thompson. So agents come to these games in the playoffs. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's agent was at game one. Caris LeVert's agent was at game one. So these things happen. And if Rich Paul is going to be in the building at the same time as Dan Gilbert, they're going to talk.
All I heard is LeBron's coming home. That's all I heard, buddy. Chris, that will make that the headline, too. Chris, thank you so much,
aggregate
buddy.
Aggregate that.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to aggregate the bleep out of it.
We're going to call Dove Kleiman.
Hey, man, great stuff. Enjoy the rest of this series, and I'm sure we'll be talking throughout the rest of the playoffs.
You got to guess. Anytime.
Chris Fedor on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.